Scripture lesson today is from 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16, on page 1386 of the Pew Bible. That's why only someone who has God's Spirit can understand spiritual blessings. Anyone who doesn't have God's Spirit thinks these blessings are foolish. People who are guided by the Spirit can make all kinds of judgments, but they cannot be judged by others. The scriptures ask, has anyone ever known the thoughts of the Lord or given him advice? Second reading is from John 3, 5 through 8, page 1282 of your Pew Bible. Jesus answered, I tell you for certain that before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born not only by water, but also by Spirit. Humans give life to their children, yet only God's Spirit can change you in a child of God. Don't be surprised when I say that you must be born far above. Only God's Spirit gives new life. The Spirit is like the wind that blows wherever it wants to. You can hear the wind, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So ends the readings.
Let's pray again. Mighty and wonderful Lord, I pray once more that these words will first be acceptable to you, that you'll do whatever it takes to fit them into our lives, increasing our love and knowledge of you and our faith in you and our love for each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Texas, there was this cowboy who used to hitch his horse. Every morning he would do this. He'd hitch his horse in front of the local saloon. One morning, the saloon keeper, he happened to walk outside, and he noticed that the cowboy's horse was hitched in front of the local Methodist church instead of the saloon, and he got kind of curious about that. So he saw the cowboy walking across the street, and he yelled out to him. He said, hey, why is your horse hitched in front of the Methodist church this morning? And the cowboy stopped, and he yelled back, and he said, well, last night I was converted at a revival meeting, and I've changed hitching posts. You know what Billy Graham would say? Billy Graham would say that this is the beginning, or this is what it means to be born again. We've changed hitching posts. A person has gone from their old selves without Christ to a new self with Christ, born again. This is the fourth message in a series I'm calling Peace with God. It's based on a book by Billy Graham of the same name, Peace with God. And this morning, my message is going to be just a little bit different. Part of it is going to be based on one of the chapters in the book, Peace with God, the chapter called The Old and the New. But there's also going to be kind of a sprinkling of what I call just some good old-fashioned Methodist music. And it's my hope that by the time we leave here today, all of us are going to be drawn a little closer to Jesus, and who knows, maybe even born again. The Bible, I think, makes it real clear that we have a choice to make. We have to choose between having a life with Christ or a life without Christ. Choosing a life with Christ is called being born again. Now, I don't think it's a secret what can happen when we include Jesus in our lives. There happens to be a transformation, if you will. People change. We're just not the same people we were before. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. I kind of think that this is the beginning of being born again. It's when people like all of us, when we turn to Jesus and we say something like, well, we messed up again. We're sorry. Forgive us. Come into our hearts, Lord Jesus, and make us new, because it is no secret what you can do. Maybe have you heard the story of the pig and the lamb? Have you? A farmer one time took a pig and brought it into his house, and he took this pig and gave her a bubble bath, kind of polished up her hoofs, put on little Chanel number 5, tied a real pretty pink bow around her neck, and then brought her into the living room and treated her like family. And the pig, I got to tell you, looked mighty fine. And she smelled really, really good. And for a minute or two, it looked like that old pig would make the transformation, if you will, into a civilized pig. But then somebody opened up the front door, and that old pig, she just kind of raced outside as fast as she could, and she jumped into the first mud hole she could find. You see, she was still a pig. Even though she had changed on the outside, she hadn't changed on the inside, where it counts the most. Now you take a lamb, for those of you farmers out there, you take a lamb and you can clean up a lamb, you can dress a lamb, you can put ribbons in her hair, you can bring her in the living room, you can treat it like family, and when you take that lamb outside, she is going to do everything she can to avoid those mud holes. Why? It's a question. Why? Because a lamb's nature is different than a pig's. Now, people are like that. Now, I'm not calling anybody a pig, right? And I'm not calling us lambs. If the shoe fits, wear it, though. No. My point is this. We can get cleaned up. We can get all gussied up. We can wear our very Sunday best. We can even sit in the front pews of the church, which are empty right now. We can sit there, and we can even look like saints. But the minute we go back to our jobs, if you will, the next day, or the minute we go to our homes, or the minute we go to the golf course, or wherever we're comfortable, that's where our true nature comes out, isn't it? A pig or a lamb. Being born again is an inside job. It's a change, if you will, that happens right in here someplace when we invite Christ into our lives. Being born again is kind of like being washed in the blood. Remember that old song? It's in your bulletin again, and I want you to grab it out. And I want you to think of the words, have you been washed? Are you washed in the blood? Think of those words. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Being washed in the blood of the Lamb means that you and I, our sins are forgiven. Did you know that? It means that Jesus sacrificed his life for our life on the cross. It means that Jesus made a sin payment on our behalf. It means that we've all been washed from the inside out. Maybe you heard about this man who was born again. He was at another one of those revival meetings. You got to watch out when you go to a revival meeting. Anyway, this man had been known as the town drunk before. And in fact, everybody called him Old John because Old John kept doing the same old things, drink, drink, drink. Well, a couple days later, after the revival meeting, somebody saw Old John walking down the street and called out, "Good morning, Old John." And John stopped in the middle of the street and he looked at this man and he said, "Are you talking to me? My name isn't Old John anymore. It's New John." And I think this is one of the ways people can tell if they've been born again. There is a transformation, if you will. There's a turnaround. There's a change between our old ways of doing things and our new ways of doing things. There's a change between our old selves without Christ and our new self with Christ. And another way of telling if we've been born again is that there's going to be a desire to want to serve and obey God probably more than ever before. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible tells us, "Now by this we may be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments." Another way of telling if we've been born again is that there's going to be a desire in us to avoid those things in the world that act to separate us from God and from each other. Again, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world." And finally, another way of telling if we've been born again is that there will be a greater love in our hearts for other people. Again, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, "We know that we've passed from death to life because we love one another." And so for us, the question of all questions today anyway is this. Is it worth it? Is being born again worth it? I mean, is actually changing our nature, is obeying God and loving God and loving other people worth the trouble? Is being born again worth it? There's one last song on that song sheet that we haven't sung yet. I believe that it helps us answer that question. Is being born again worth it? Can you find that hymn? I've got a mansion, or mansion on a hilltop, I think it's called also. For me, this, by the way, this is one of my all-time favorite hymns. I want you to think of that question. Is being born again worth it? Is changing our nature, changing how we obey God, loving God more, loving other people more, is that going to be worth it? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday, yonder, we will never more wander but walk on streets that are pure as gold. So what do you think? Is being born again worth it? I think the answer from this last song is pretty clear. A mansion on a hilltop, streets of gold, and being in a place where we'll never grow old. What's not to like, huh? But like a lot of things in this world, it's a decision that we have to make ourselves. This morning, as you come forward for communion, I invite you to ask yourself a simple little question. Have you been born again? If you haven't, or if you're not sure, I can't think of a better time than right now. And by the way, at the bottom of that song sheet, I've copied a prayer written by Billy Graham. I've been told that it's his born again prayer. I invite you to pray that prayer today before you come up for communion, or maybe right after you get back to your seat and sit down. Again, I have a feeling that you won't regret it. Amen.